Let me say good morning to Jason Cairns as we start the best 5 minutes of the day early, 5:45 on the WIB Wake Up Show. Yeah, different movies can make different people come to tears. And there's one that you shared on Facebook last night that maybe wouldn't immediately spring to mind for people. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, the movie Armageddon, which came out, probably much longer ago than I would care to acknowledge. I've probably seen it a dozen times, and quite literally every time I've seen it, it brings me to tears. And so, yeah.
So now remind us who's in that and kind of, I mean, Armageddon, but what all happens?
Yeah, so, you know, it's the story about an asteroid coming toward Earth, they send up this oil drilling team to try and combat to take down the asteroid. And so they send up this great drilling team and I'm trying to think who all was in it. The name of the primary character escapes me.
Is Will Smith in it?
Nope.
Okay.
The guy that was in Die Hard, and I can't think of his name right off the top of my head.
Right. But, Bruce.
You know, there you go. Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And so pretty good cast. And,
okay.
You know, and so just there are parts of that movie that really touch me. And at this point, Heather and I were talking about this last night. We don't even need to be watching the screen. When certain scenes pop up, it tends to generate tears for both of us. She
okay.
was full on weeping last night watching it. So it was, yeah. So it was really good. You know, I think that it's good for us to enter into that place of tears once in a while. And honestly, sometimes the movies that do so can be a little bit surprising.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hey, we still have a little bit of time for Letters to the Beloved comes out on your birthday, October 25th. All of America's counting down to that. And it should. It's a devotional commentary based on the new... Well, I mean, we've got that's the vision, at least, for all of America and the world, really.
Yeah, you bet.
The world. Forget
Forget
America. We're just a little... We got 330 million people, but there's approaching 8 billion on the planet. We've got to have a marketing plan, you know? What's your marketing plan for China, by the way?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know Chinese particularly well, so I'm going to probably have to have someone help me translate.
All right.
Translate it, but... You know, even if I could corner like 1% of the Chinese market,
yep.
I think it would really go a long way.
There you go. Well, let me read on in, it sure would. I think we're in John 13, so we're kind of sharing some of this.
Yeah.
And
let's tackle 6-8.
Here we go. It reads like this, John 13, 6-8. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, why are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't understand now why I'm going to. Doing it, someday you will. Verse 8, no, Peter protested, you will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, but if I don't wash you, you won't belong to me. So, all right, well, how about Letters to the Beloved on that?
Yeah, so my take on that was his intimate act of service made them uncomfortable. A teacher serving his students in this way was improper according to their understanding. Peter spoke out of his discomfort, asking, Lord, are you planning to wash my feet too? Knowing the heart behind Peter's question, Jesus said to him, friend, this doesn't make sense to you right now, but trust me, it will. Peter doubled down. No way. You are never going to wash my feet. Rather than trusting Jesus at his word, Peter's resistance grew. All he knew now was that Jesus, the one who was not only his teacher, but who he believed to be the Messiah, wanted to kneel before him and wash his feet. His thoughts reeled. He never imagined Christ would perform such a menial act, and he wanted no part of it. Beloved, be aware of how you resist my grace. Like Peter, you too can pull away from being loved, preferring to live independently. But that is not how life works in my kingdom. Let me love you.
Mm.
And so, you know, again, I think as I reflect on that, there is this tendency, I think, for many of us to struggle to receive love. And, you know, we want to step in and serve. We're willing to do so with others, but to actually receive that, to it almost is a spiritual discipline to receive grace and love from others.
I'm gonna share a story that I just heard from our mutual friend, Perry Polnasek, the pastor of Fellowship Church and the head of Touch Twice United, because he just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. So he was in Tanzania for a couple of weeks. He's back now safely. And so he was talking about how, and they'd served people through, in particular, right? I mean, he's skilled in terms of vision care and some wonderful stories of providing glasses for people who needed them. And so, but yeah. It's this long journey up the mountain, and they get there, and then apparently it's about 11 hours down. And as he tells it better than I, but I mean, the idea of his backpack and coming down, and they're, I don't know, halfway or more down, and he talks to the guide, and he's like, I am really struggling. This is just, and the guide says, give me your backpack. And he's just like, I'm not going to give you my backpack. And now, look, just pause. You know, why would you think not? Because you feel like, how heavy is that going to be for you, Mr. Guide, right? If I'm going to give you, that's just, you're asking too much for me. And so then Perry continues on down until he reaches a point where he's basically like, I can't walk anymore. And then, and the guide had said, all right, fine, I'll give me your backpack, but come to me when you really want help. And so then he comes to him with, I don't know, an hour or more to go and says, I can't even walk. And so then he is finally, and this is a guy that we both know is like way more humble than us, right, Perry? And so he finally does. And I think just speaks to that story. It's this resistance of receiving, you know, so.
Right. Absolutely. Because there's this, I got to carry my weight.
Yeah. Right?
You know, and I think, and that's a very physical picture of that.
And I can't obligate you, right? So, all right.
Right. Absolutely.
We have made that, with that story, I've made this the longest best 5 minutes we've ever had before. So there we go. So
awesome.
Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow. Jason Cans. Letters to the Beloved coming out October 25th.
Selling a home is a big decision, so maybe you've been putting it off, just waiting for a sign.
Hey, genius, it's a great time to sell.
All right, that is such a great ad. I want to just listen to it because I love it. Like, you know, like, how often do we, in so many areas of our life, want that? You know, we're like, no, I need something. Just so obvious. So let's listen to that again.
Selling a home is a big decision, so maybe you've been putting it off, just waiting for a sign.
Hey, genius, it's a great time to sell.
That is a great, great ad. I love it. We've got a Tommy Lee Jones birthday today, and I'm tempted to play this. Because Caleb and Susan and I all seem to like this, but we got to. It's Tommy Lee Jones from The Fugitive. It's a classic, and Caleb looked it up yesterday. It's from 1993. Give this a listen.
Listen up, ladies and gentlemen. Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes. Average foot speed over uneven ground, barring injuries, 4 miles an hour. That gives us a radius of 6 miles. What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area. Checkpoints go up at 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Go get him.
Tommy Lee Jones deservedly got Best Supporting Actor for that role in The Fugitive, 1993. So, so good, really. As we're coming up on 6:45, good morning to Susan.
Good morning. Hey, everybody.
47 degrees this morning. Did you catch the clip from The Fugitive, Tommy Lee Jones' 75th birthday?
Today? I did not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back.
I love it.
But right now, a television show made its debut on this day, a year after I was born, 1965.
I can't wait to hear what it is.
Yeah, on CBS. Very recognizable theme. She doesn't know yet.
Green Acres.
Yes. Eddie Albert, Eva Gabor. Is it Eva? Ava Gabor.
Yeah. Yes.
Kind of has that early morning farm feel to it.
I love it. It's like the country mouse, the city mouse.
I know.
Tale as old as time.
Exactly. Exactly.
So good.
Yeah.
With her marabou boas. And
yeah. 1965. So, yeah, going back just a few years.
I love that show. It was so good.
Well, I liked it in a recent sportscast, Caleb. You said finally in eighth grade football in Rice Lake, and you reported on your brother, Will, I think, scoring the winning touchdown.
So, and the winning two-point conversion, actually.
He's
I found
amazing.
Out later, so.
The one to watch.
In the spirit
Here's
of
another
that,
one to watch.
In the spirit of that, another Eau Claire North JV soccer game last night as North battled Chi High to a 4-1 victory as Michael Halverson scored four more goals.
All four of their goals?
He's a machine.
He did. One of them was left-footed. And again, I don't know, try it. I mean, your left leg, if you're a righty, probably your left leg's a little weaker than your right leg.
Oh,
and
my
so,
word.
You know, and again, getting a feel. I mean, I was more of a football, baseball, basketball guy. I did play soccer sometimes, but it was never nearly.
Yeah, like AYSO. I tried a little bit and was not any good.
And so, different aspects to that, though, in terms of the parenting. And you get the feel for, like, you've got to kick it strong enough and then at an angle that the goalie's not going to. I mean, you might boot it, but if the goalie gets it, it's nothing. And, in fact, even one of them afterwards, one of his teammates, Kip, was just saying, hey, you almost had five. Because it was a great drama one-on-one with the goalie at one point, and then Michael kicked it and hit the top bar and came
when
down.
When he hits the bar,
right.
Yeah.
And so that was one. So. But he takes it on with a great humility. Now, a couple of things. One is, as a parent, like, you know, you see it all happen, and I'm still not at the place where I'm like, I don't know what the proper behavior is.
Like, do you go nuts,
yes,
or do you just
exactly.
like, or is it just kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's
you
not
know,
like
doing
everybody
a good
else
job.
Is yelling his name. People are cheering. There's one particular fan that's maybe a little louder, and Michael said he appreciates that, and the guy, this middle-aged man, said, I wish I ran as fast as you, and so Michael's smiling.
That's nice.
But at home in my kitchen afterwards, I'm practicing, way to go, Michael, as if maybe, is that what I should do? I don't know. I don't know. You know, I want to relay that. The other thing he said, you know, one of his teammates is like, you should let some of the rest of us score, too. And so we're kind of already. And I'm like, no matter what you do, if you don't score, if you do, you're going to get.
I can't believe he scored all four goals. That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's
man,
wonderful.
And that's not even his best game of the season, right? He had a five-goal game earlier.
He did have a five-goal game,
so.
And that's where one of his teammates is like, oh, almost had one. So anyhow.
I think what you should do is enjoy being Mark Halverson in this golden time before you just become Michael's dad. Because he's that kid's headed places.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people are patting me on the back saying, we know he got his speed from you, which...
wow, speedy.
Yeah, so I'm just letting that go.
There you go. There you go. The former Bucks ball boy.
Yeah, right. That's right.
All right, so we have decided upon a best of pet peeve put to music for this morning. It's been quite a while since this one's aired. We've been going back into the archives. And this one has to do with driving, and there's a variety of them that you can... possibly on even parking. I've got three pet peeves waiting at my desk to be. I'll put them on my on Caleb's desk this morning.
This is those subtle nudges. It's like, hey, the world needs to know about this.
Yes, exactly.
We need a healthy outlet for a peevishness.
Have you ever had an instance or had it done to you where somebody is going very slow and you try to pass them and then they speed up? That apparently was the pet peeve of the person who contacted Caleb.
I don't remember this at all.
You
so
don't?
So I'm really curious what in the world I did.
It's funny.
It's like your attempt to pass them kind of wakes them out of a stupor.
Right. And I think I've been on both sides of that.
And then they speed up after you pass them. And then it's like, set your cruise, buddy.
There is something about it. Yes, you do reference cruise in this.
Really? All right. So let's rediscover it together. Pet peeves put to music here on the Wib Wake Up Show. Really love it if folks would learn to drive. You don't need to go 40 in a posted 55. But when she tries to pass you, you act like it's a race. Then settle back comfortably to your snail and turtle pace. Peak of speed! And that, kids, is why God gave us cruise control. Yes, she can appreciate your mammoth SUV, because for 37 miles, it's all that she could see. She won't honk her horn at you or wave a little bird, but she'll clench her fist and mutter, Christians really need more words. Yes, we need more.
Mama always said it's not road rage if it's righteous anger.
Wow. That was really good.
Boom.
Man, I forgot about that one.
Deeper Susan laughed than I almost ever remember out of Pet Pee Put
the Music. It's so good.
As I remember, Heath was from the Hayward area, I believe. We'd love to hear from you at 396-1670 if you remember messaging me and asking if we do a Pet Pee Put to Music about that. And again, we're always open for more suggestions. I enjoyed that one.
It was fun.
Also you really painted a picture. Right? I could see it all.
Well, earlier this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show, if you were listening in the 6 o'clock hour, you heard We the Kingdom, Child of Love, and we were talking about they were the new Artist of the Year winner in the Dove Awards last October. Well, just this morning, we're learning more about this October's Dove Awards. That, in fact, the Gospel Music Association announcing that Dove Award-winning artists Natalie Grant and Jonathan McReynolds are going to co-host this year's GMA Dove Awards. So Natalie did for the first time back in 2010, but for Jonathan McReynolds, first time co-hosting. So that's a big gig for
him.
Exciting. Also, they're revealing the first slate of nominated performers, including, do you want to share some of that?
Well, all I want to say is Elevation Worship, Rattle, I think back when it first came out, I said this is going to be bigger than Oceans. Mm. And I would be surprised if it wasn't Rattle that they are.
We will have to do our predictions before the actual live show. It's going to be live in Nashville on October 19th and then airing exclusively initially on October 22nd at 7 Central Time on TVN. So,
well, also nominated, another one of my favorites, CeCe Winans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lauren Daigle, Zach Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones that I can see.
Mm-hmm. KB in there as well, getting a little hip-hop flavor.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that is what we've got as far as out of Music City this morning, out of Nashville. So the Dove Awards.
Breaking news. Thank you, Helvo. Well, we'll on it.
We'll have to have some Dove Award predictions leading up to that.
Yeah. 52nd GMA Dove Awards. Yeah. So it's been going on for over half a century and a lot of great artists. And
all right. So this segment, Facebook knows that Instagram, which it owns, is toxic for teen girls. That's what their own company documents show. About a year ago, teenager Anastasia started seeing a therapist. She developed an eating disorder and had a clear idea of what led to it. Her time on Instagram, in fact. She joined the platform when she was 13 and eventually was spending 3 hours a day entranced by the seemingly perfect lives and bodies of the fitness influencers who posted on the app. Anastasia, now 18, lives in Virginia, says, "When I went on Instagram, all I saw were images of chiseled bodies, perfect abs, and women doing 100 burpees in 10 minutes. Around that time, researchers inside Instagram, as I said, owned by Facebook, were studying this kind of experience and asking whether it was part of a broader phenomenon. Their own findings confirmed some serious problems. In fact, researchers said in a March 2020 slide presentation posted to Facebook's internal message board, quote, 32% of teen girls said that when they felt bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel worse. In fact, the internal notes reviewed by the Wall Street Journal say comparisons on Instagram can change how young women view and describe themselves. So for the past 3 years, Facebook has been conducting studies into how its photo sharing app, Instagram, affects its millions of young users. Repeatedly, the company's researchers found that Instagram is harmful for a sizable percentage of them, most notably, yes, teenage girls.
I believe it. I have experienced it, not as a teen girl, but as a woman who my compatriots in Hollywood, I don't know, Helen Mirren, Demi Moore, all those people look fantastic. And if you look on Instagram, there's a lot of filters. So this isn't even how people look in real life. But also, I'm going to say, contentment with your home. Instagram is filled with architectural images, really easy do-overs. I was watching Reels the other day, and I felt this restlessness, like, oh my gosh, this is out. Wait, no, this is in. You know, what's in, what's out? And honestly, if we are constantly comparing and being barraged with these images that really don't have any resemblance to our lives, we're going to feel a little inadequate.
I think you hit on it there by saying contentment and discontentment. Yeah. Because when we're looking, whatever social media platform it is, because if you say, well, I'll get off Instagram, well, there's always going to be another one that pops
right.
up. But in this augmented or alternate reality that we see mm-hmm. in social media, and I think it was key what Mark was mentioning, too, when these young women felt bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel mm-hmm. worse. Mm-hmm. And so I think it feeds on... Mm-hmm. our own feelings of inadequacy, our lack of contentment.
Yeah.
And, you know, so not saying, again, everyone in their own homes decides what social media presence should be, but how do we combat this? And I don't mm-hmm. think it's just saying, well, let's just turn away from all forms of social media, because they'll probably come. There'll probably right. be more. But how do we build up, especially these young ones, how do we build them up and say, you are exactly how you were created mm-hmm. to be?
That's right. And look at ourselves through the filter of God's love and how God sees us, instead of a filter that simulates perfection and losing 50 pounds. Honestly, body image should not equal self-image, but as a woman, I sure. can say it really does affect your self-image. And
absolutely.
I wish it wasn't that way. But since we know that head knowledge, we know we're vulnerable to that, let's be careful. Be really careful. Limit your time and constantly be telling yourself, this is somebody's highlight. This is their best picture
mm-hmm. yeah.
that they have taken minutes, if not hours, to craft and filter.
Well, Mark, you mentioned this song that we're going to play now as just something apropos for this topic.
Yeah, I think a great chapter in the Bible to read along these lines, Psalm 139, and mm-hmm. I think Stephen Curtis Chapman draws on that in a song he initially wrote for his daughter, Emily, Fingerprints of God on WWIP.
So good.
We are family. You're part of it. Thank you. Thank you for being with us.